Yo, what is up, Stackin' Dubs? Coming to you right after the Warriors get to a 3-1 lead, take down the Rockets 109-106 in, I guess, the most exciting game of the series. I don't know if it's the most exciting game of the playoffs all around, but it is up there with them because this game was back and forth. It had all the antics. Even though Steph Curry didn't quite show up in this one, other stars did, namely playoff Jimmy, playoff Himmy, whatever you want to call him, Batman for the day. I thought this game turned several times, but none more important than Dylan Brooks starting to getting a little talking with Jimmy Butler late in that first half. And Jimmy up until that point only had 4 points. And all of a sudden you see the flip switched. Jimmy, you know, starts running over Dylan Brooks and fouled him hard on another one. Thank goodness it was not more than just a common foul. It took the Warriors a bit to calm down just from that entire second quarter. But you knew that once they calmed down and Jimmy got kind of settled in through halftime, he came out and I think he scored what, 18-ish points, 20 points in that second half. The last 7 points for the Warriors, in which the main one was in a tie game, Dylan Brooks with a stupid foul on shooting a three for Jimmy Butler, and that literally was the difference in the game. Jimmy Butler, a monster rebound after DPOY, should be DPOY, Draymond Green gets a huge stop in Şengün. I guess let's kind of go through the last like 3 minutes here, where, you know, starting with Van Vliet, who, man, that guy kept the Rockets alive. And, you know, for everything Van Vliet did, Pajemski battled him, and we'll talk more about pods in a bit. But I guess we'll look at the kind of that 4 minute mark when Van Vliet makes a three to put the Rockets up four. And then Jimmy Butler decides, hey, I got to put my head down, and gets a, actually it was kind of a backdoor cut from Draymond Green. Gets the game within two. Draymond gets a stop on Şengün and the rebound, and then Buddy hits a huge three-pointer to put the Warriors up one, and that's with about like 3 minutes left. And then kind of like fast forward to Pajemski with a huge block from behind. Pajemski played great all around tonight, and that defense and that block from behind on Van Vliet in the lane was as big as any, kind of preserved that 1 point lead, led to Jimmy having another driving layup to put us up three. And as we get kind of to that 1 minute mark, of course Fred Van Vliet hits another three. And did you notice, I don't think a single one of his threes even hit iron. Everything was a swish, everything was kind of stepping into that three. And I guess for all the misses he had throughout this entire season and earlier this series, I guess the numbers kind of evened out a little bit to the mean, but he was on fire. I think he had 8 threes from what, only 11 misses. Or sorry, only 11 shots. And that third one, that last one at the buzzer, I thought was going in. But I'm skipping ahead here. So tie game, and then you have the Dylan Brooks idiotic shooting foul. Could not have scripted it better for Dylan Brooks, who just, you know, I can appreciate what he does because we have Draymond. He's honestly the type of guy, if he's on your team, you can appreciate how hard he plays D, the shots he makes, the way he rattles opponents. But I freaking hate that guy. And I'm obviously biased because Draymond is very similar, but God, I love the things Draymond does because he's a winning player and makes winning plays. And then you have a guy like Dylan Brooks, who is not a winning player. He's good at what he does, but when it comes time to win games, he does stupid things like that and picks up a foul on Jimmy Butler, who was fantastic from the free throw line. That week off that Jimmy had not shooting free throws might have been the best thing for him, because he was kind of in a little free throw funk the last couple weeks. So I think he went like 12 for 12 from the line tonight, and maybe that time off he just kind of shot some free throws, or at least just cleared and reset the mechanism. But then nevertheless, Jimmy makes all three free throws. Rockets go back to Şengün. Warriors opt to switch that. Draymond was on him, and GP2 was on Van Vliet, and they opt to switch the screen and let GP2 just see what he can do. You're going to live. The decision was, you're kind of living with them going for two. And we're talking, I mean, like 35 seconds left in the game, 40 seconds left in the game at that point. So, hey, like worst case, you're just going to play, you know, one-on-one, and if he scores over GP2, you know, give him credit, and he did. So they bring it to within one, and Rockets get a stop, but Big rebound by Draymond off a Jimmy miss. Curry gets a chance to put some distance and bring it back up on a little kind of floater. He misses. Rough game for Steph. And then that leads to Draymond Green, just fantastic stop this time. He stays home on Şengün, fights through the screen. They do not switch. DPOY comes through, gets a stop Şengün. I mean, he's made that shot at times, that little just like a steps inside the free throw line, but Draymond contests, does not foul, did a fantastic job not fouling in that whole fourth quarter while still being just an imposing force at the rim. And Jimmy Butler skies for a very hard fought rebound, gets to the line, ices it with the free throws, and then Van Vliet barely misses. That was a very straight shot from the camera angle we were looking at. I could have sworn that was going in. It looked clean, but it came up short. Not enough legs, and the Warriors win. Ooh, man, I just had to relive that whole thing because that was quite a game. And Warriors found, just enough offense when, it was tough sledding. They found points in isolation. They found points just Jimmy Butler deciding to just be the strongest alpha on the court tonight. When Curry, again, he struggled, and this is what you go get a Jimmy Butler. When Steph is human and not always going to have it. And a game where they pretty much took Steph out of it. He had three air balls in this one, as did several other Warriors. But this is why you go get a guy who can score in isolation, a guy who can go get those tough points, get at the rim and get to the free throw line, and a guy who can actually go get you rebounds and just be a lion and just get you the hard fought in a game where it was just physicality. If the Warriors were going to lose, it was because the Rockets were more physical. Their Rockets were pushing the Warriors around the first 3.5 quarters of this. Rockets, aside from all the antics, the fouls, the pushing, this and that, Rockets just were bigger, were stronger. They just imposed their size on the glass, in the lane, kept the Warriors from getting into the paint very much, kept the Warriors off the glass for the most part, other than my boy Pajemski. And yeah, it was just one of those games where the Warriors were just scraping for extra possessions, scraping for anything they could get. They found just enough toughness to hang in this one and win the game. Player of the game, Brandon Pajemski. I mean, I know Jimmy was got us there at the end, and Jimmy did everything he could. And Jimmy, let's see, he finished with 27. And yeah, Jimmy was great, but Pajemski got us there, man. It was one of those reverse roles where, sometimes you have Steph or Jimmy and other guys getting us to the end, and Curry finishes it off. Well, you know what? It is nice to have a third option. And that's going to be the difference between the Warriors getting far in this playoffs, is having a third option step up. Even a fourth option if Buddy Hield's going to be making shots, which we'll get to Buddy in a second. But Pajemski was just marvelous. 26 points, 9 of 18 from the field, is very aggressive. 6 of 11 from 3. That's where it's at. When Pajemski's making shots from the outside, it energizes him. He's playing with confidence. It reflects everywhere else in his game. I think he had drew three offensive fouls. He drew a charge, he threw one navigating a screen. I think he drew another foul elsewhere. He had four offensive rebounds. One was off of a Steph air ball that he found Buddy Hield for a late shot clock for a three. That was huge in the third quarter. It's every offensive rebound is gigantic, and I think we had 9 of them. So Pajemski had 4. Rockets had 13, which I guess you'll live with it. It's just the Warriors did just enough clawing and scratching to keep the Rockets from enough second chance points. And honestly, once the Warriors kind of calmed down, settled down, and Pods did a great job to kind of get them, take care of the ball, stop turning the ball over. Credit to everybody in the second half for not turning the ball over. We only finished, I think, with 8 turnovers after it got off to kind of a dicey start. But again, Pajemski just kind of, calmed the offense down on that side of the ball, found good shots for us, and then on defense, just held his own, did a very good job. And again, he kept us in the game when Van Vliet was going nuts, and he matched him and gave the Warriors a chance at the end to let Robin, aka Jimmy Butler, get us to the win. But Pajemski also had 2 steals and a block, so he was just so good in this, and it's good to see that confidence rise after kind of a rough, obviously game two, and just kind of coming off that illness. So Pajemski, player of the game for me. Let's go to the antics, right? So actually, no, let's go back to the beginning of this game. Let's just kind of take you through, and we'll get to the whole second quarter. So Warriors started Buddy in this one, and obviously Jimmy returned to the lineup, and the Warriors had a ton of success with that starting lineup to start each half. Got off to like a 13-2 start. Buddy had a couple steals. Rockets were just shaky, a lot of turnovers. Jalen Green played a horrible game, a lot of turnovers for him, especially early. Didn't even close. But yeah, gotta give credit, Buddy. He was active on defense. He worked, made good decisions, and he was very much a huge part of the reason that starting lineup had a 13-2 lead to start the game. And then to start the second half, I think they went on an 18-1 run, mainly when Draymond was on the floor. I think he left for the last like couple buckets of that before the Warriors really hit that drought. But my point is that the Warriors, that starting lineup, they're going to see that same lineup again to start next game. I'm almost sure of it because it had a lot of success. And part of the reason you can do that is because, Buddy, for not being a great defender, he'll compete. And I thought he rebounded pretty well. He was able to kind of just be around the ball enough to get four rebounds. And when you're sitting in a zone like the Warriors did a ton of, and I think to open that second half, they played zone the first like 10 possessions. Rockets are going to be shooting threes, a lot of long rebounds. And when you're playing zone, you have to rebound. You're very, very vulnerable to rebounds when you're zoning just because you don't have bodies on bodies boxing out. So I thought the Warriors did a great job gaining rebounding with that unit. But anyways, back to the first quarter, and Rockets settled in, and mid first quarter, they went on that 22-12 run to close the quarter and bring it back to within two. And you saw the Warriors' offense; it stalled because they kept shooting threes. They were up against a zone of their own, and they just couldn't quite get into the paint on offense. Had a lot of trouble getting dribble penetration. Jimmy Butler not too active in that, and it wasn't until later in the game when you finally start getting Jimmy Butler kind of attacking the paint, getting in down low, that it really started to space the offense and open up the offense for the Warriors. But anyways, yeah, the Rockets' big run, they were imposing their will on offense, getting into the lane, being big. Finding little like 6 to 10 footers, and then also just putbacks as well. So they got to within two after the first quarter, and then the second quarter comes and all hell breaks loose. The Curry gets fouled on a Brooks screen, is what it, or Curry's coming off the screen. Brooks for fouls Curry coming off. Curry tells him it's his second foul, which that's not a technical. It's not. I mean, it's technically taunting, but guys do that all the time. You can hold up your fingers. It's not like he was in his face, but Brooks decides to grab the ball from Curry, which is a technical foul. Draymond comes in, doesn't really do much other than just kind of walk Brooks backwards and break up any kind of tension. He's de-escalating the situation. He gets a T, Curry gets a T. Somehow, what's his face? Somehow Post and I think it was Jabari Smith who actually kind of came in more aggressive. They don't get anything, but the Warriors end up behind in that situation. And more importantly, Draymond gets a T, which we all knew could lead to something later. And you just hope he can kind of bottle it up and at least just, calm down, which he does not. He gets right it back into it a couple of minutes later. He gets tangled up with Eason, dives for a loose ball after getting stripped. I mean, who else in the NBA can dive for a ball and roll over, and somehow it's considered, hey, he's trying to kick the other guy in the head? Only Draymond Green, only because of his reputation. I mean, I would say that he wasn't. I don't think anyone else would say Draymond had, especially in that moment where he's just coming up a T. You have to be an idiot to just dive and try to flail your legs and kick Eason in the head there. Anyways, that's what the refs said they saw. They didn't call the grab of the shirt, which would have been a technical. Instead, they call it flagrant on the feet. So I guess we'll take it because ultimately Draymond was able to stay in the game. However, it was his third or fourth foul at that. I think it was his fourth foul at that point. So out for the half, obviously picked up that fifth foul later. But then, like we talked about, the moment where this game really did turn in the Warriors' favor is that Jimmy Butler got a fire lit under him. The bear was poked, and man, or well, I guess in this, you pray for the bear, right? And this, and the bear being in this situation, Dylan Brooks, because the bear started to poke the Jimmy bear, and Jimmy turned up, and I would not want to see Jimmy Butler turned up when he was just out of the game, being passive, kind of just trying to nurse that injury and not do anything worse. Instead, Jimmy gets turned up, and the rest is history. in between that, though, there was the three turnovers leading into the halftime, and the Rockets go up seven, and it's just all points off turnovers, and the Warriors got loose. But like Steve Kerr said, coming out of the half, just got to get back to playing good defense, got to get back to rebounding, got to get back to not turning the ball over, because that's how the Rockets are going to score on you when they get out in transition. So they took care of that, and the Warriors basically kept their, I think in the second half, they only had a couple turnovers. And then obviously the Rockets cooled off a little bit from three. Fred Van Vliet didn't, but everyone else did. And that Warriors zone did just enough holding up with rebounding to close the possessions. And the Warriors go on to a 3-1 lead. Whew, lots to digest there, guys. I guess my biggest area of improvement is, dude, TJD, why is TJD in the game there? Just put Looney in. You trust Looney. I know he hasn't been great in these matchups, but good God. I mean, I know Draymond was out and he had to play two bigs against the Rockets, two big lineup, but I mean, TJD fouls Adams on a free throw rebound on where he should have him boxed out. He actually got beat again by Adams, but the free throw was made later on, like right before the end of the quarter. Missed, got swatted at the rim for a dunk. He had another foul, gave up another couple of rebounds. He had like five or six mistakes in that time, and the Warriors let the game almost slip away from them at that point. I'm fine with TJD doesn't play again for the rest of this playoffs. That just did not work, and he was in way too long, and you're trying to buy minutes, but I mean, just put Looney in. You can trust Looney. Oddly enough, Quinton Post has become maybe our only other playable defender on Şengün, just because of the size. And he's done a very good job. He's, you know, not quick enough to stay with Şengün's first step, but when Şengün's kind of down low and you just kind of need some size on them, yeah, I thought he held up okay, forced Şengün into a couple of misses. He's done a very good job, Post has, against Amen Thompson when he's kind of matched up against him. You would have thought the Rockets would just go to that matchup, and let Thompson and let Jalen Green just be explosive and get right around Post, but not really the case. He's kind of played the angles well. He's contested straight up. He's made tough life just a tough enough for those guys where they're kind of fading away from their mid ranges, not really able to finish at the hoop. Credit the rest of the defense kind of filling in behind Post. But because of that, Post has been able to stay on the floor. I don't see how many minutes he played in this here. He ended up playing 20 minutes, and they were huge minutes because literally the Warriors needed every minute from their bigs that they could get. So I thought Post did just a good enough job. Didn't shoot that well again tonight, but again, very good job. I think he had three assists also. So good job to him. The role players played well. Gary Payton, Moses Moody, not great in this. I mean, Peyton did a good enough job battling, and not quite the game he had last night. I think Moody needs to start to. I don't know what the deal is with Moody. I mean, obviously Buddy Hield has passed him in this rotation, and I think we'd all agree at this point that at least in this matchup, Buddy Hield, just by being able to make shots and honestly play pretty well tonight and hold his own on defense, until you get to a. Hopefully, Ant Edwards series where you need a better point of attack defender, perimeter defender. You might see more Moody then, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let's just kind of let Buddy run his course, keep playing smart, build some confidence, and you see the chemistry that Butler and Buddy Hield have. It's honestly the funniest like public banter where they just trash talk each other all the time through the media, but somehow that trash talk means that they're like brothers. And you can see it on the court, and they found each other for quite a few times where I think there must have been four or five times where they each had an assist for each other. So whatever they're doing, it's working, and let's just keep it going. Got to go to Houston. Let's just take care of business, get some rest, and then we can get back home and just chill from there, because we would have home court against Minnesota, which no, excuse me, we would not. Am I tripping? Yeah, no, we would not have home court against Minnesota, but that being said, whatever. Let's get there when we get there. All right. I got to get to bed, guys, but I'm glad we got this out. Enjoy it. Have a great day. I will catch you guys next time. Enjoy the win. Until next time, I'm Chris Chen. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.